Well, that first verse of the song they just sang had my life verse in it. I didn't realize it was in there. But my life verse is, unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain that build it. And that's true of every aspect of our life. If God's not doing the building, every ounce of energy we put into it's going to be in vain. Now, we've had, over the years of our life, I don't know how many Christmas services. I started way back in 1976 in preaching ministry. And when Christmas season comes around, you always are thinking about certain associations with Christmas. One association with Christmas I was thinking about here as I was getting ready to preach is when December, the first Sunday of December comes, I start looking in the part of the hymnal where the Christmas hymns are. You know, so all December we can, be able to have a chance to sing those hymns together. It's not that we only have to sing them at Christmas time, but that's generally the way we do it. And but there's something else that is associated with Christmas that's very common. And if I were to ask you, what are the things you associate with Christmas as far as the festivities of celebrating Christmas? One of the things very obvious is the lights that come forth at Christmas time. And this whole sermon is built around Jesus' birth and God's light. Jesus' birth and God's light. The Bible tells us that the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. Last Sunday, I was just taken up with the wonder of worship through our ministry of our choirs last Sunday. And I was already thinking about the star that led the wise men and the light that God gives to men to get us to where we need to be in life. And one thing I've been thinking about all week is the different ways that God will give us light. He gave a star to the wise men, but there's many stars that God gives us in our life. We don't see it as a star, but there's different ways that God gives us light along the journey of our pathway. It's been that way with me whenever I needed light. God gives light. Now, in order to have light, you have to have Christ. If you don't come to Jesus Christ, you will not have light. The Lord himself said, I am the light of the world. He said, if you follow me, this is an incredible promise. You'll never be in confusion about what to do. Never be in confusion about how to do it if you follow me. He said, if you follow me, you will never walk in darkness. That's an incredible promise that whenever we're faced with a situation, and I want to say this about fear and what Jonathan said about peace and about how God gives us light when we have fear. Don't run from your fear. Run towards your fear. The Bible talks about the righteous are bold as a lion, but the wicked flee when no man pursues. In Proverbs it says, the desire of the righteous shall be granted, but the fear of the wicked will come upon them. And if there's anything I want to say about this sermon and what Jonathan said, is we all have fears. The whole city of Jerusalem was terrorized because of Herod's tyrannical rule. It says the whole city was troubled. The whole city. Listen, if you have the fear of man, it puts you in bondage. You're not able to come into the light that God wants to give. You're not able to follow the light that God does give if you have the fear of man. The Bible says the fear of man brings a snare. If you're more concerned about what men think of you than what God thinks of you, you'll be hindered in the light that God wants to give you. Amen? But if you have the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord as the beginning point of your life and the center point of your life, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom and understanding. So if you fear him, it helps you overcome the fear of people and fear of man. You know, the Lord said, don't fear man who is able to kill your body. He said, fear me, because not only am I able to do whatever takes place with your body, I'm able to do whatever takes place with your soul. Man has limits to what they can do against us, but God can take care of us in our soul regardless of what men are up to. One of the wonders of this section of Scripture is in the midst of all the tyranny of Herod's rule, God had a plan, he worked his plan, and none could stay his hand. Now, whenever we live in the midst of the darkness of the culture, the darkness of the political things that are going on, the darkness of the deterioration of all the biblical principles that's in the Bible, is God able to accomplish his plans and his purposes in the midst of all the darkness of this world? Our God is light. I was thinking about this morning when I first woke up, and I said, I was just starting to pray my way through, Lord, help me today with this message. And the first thing that came to my mind was, God is light. God himself is light. And in God, what does the Bible say? There is no darkness at all. Now it says in 1 John, it says if we walk in the light of who God is, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And so one of the wonders of the star was the surety and the certainty that the wise men had of God's leading in their life. And God says, and ultimately and finally, if we're going to get the light we need from God, ultimately and finally, we'll have to find our way to Jesus Christ, and we're going to have to find our way to his word. I'm talking about the word of God. The Bible says the entrance of God's word, the entrance of God's word, what does it give? It gives light. Over in Psalms, it says God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And if you'll just open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2, I want you to see that if your response to God's light is not leading you to God's word, there's something that's not right. Somebody that really knows God, that's really responding to the light of God, will find themselves in the word of God continually. Continually. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but man has got, not only do we have to have food for our body, we've got to have food for our soul. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And so a true believer that truly is knowing God and walking with God and has responded to the light of the life of Jesus Christ will go to the word of God, find themselves in the word of God. I want you to look at chapter 1, verse 22. All that's taking place with the birth of Jesus Christ is taking place because of the prophecies of God's word being fulfilled. Verse 22 of chapter 1. All this was done that it might be, what's the key word? That it might be fulfilled. Turn over to chapter 2 and look at verse 15. And there was until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled. What's going on here as far as the wise men and Joseph and Mary and God leading them and directing them is according to what God had prophesied in his word hundreds of years. Things are not just happening here. Things are being orchestrated by God here. And it's still true. It's still true. God's bigger than the darkness. He's bigger than the corruption. He's bigger than the depravity. Everywhere you look, you see the darkness, you see the corruption, and you see the depravity. But God's greater than all of it. He's bigger than all of it. He's got a plan. He's working his plan. And none can stay his hand. And that's where the peace is. That's where the rest is. And that's how you overcome fear, because you understand the power of God, the power of his light. The Lord Jesus has said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the highest level of the powers of darkness. And so there's the Word of God. The Word of God is central to having God's light. Now, I wanted to talk about God's law and the Gentiles, because the wise men are Gentiles. And if you will turn over to Ephesians chapter 2 with me, one of the marvelous things of walking in the light, if believers are walking in the light, there's a oneness and there's a unity, there's a fellowship, and the strife is not there, the contention is not there, the division is not there. This, to me, is one of the most wonderful things of walking in the light, whether it be as a family, a biological family, or whether it be the church family. The miracle of what the world is longing for, that mankind would be able to get along with each other. And it's possible supernaturally because of our Lord Jesus Christ's light. And the Gentiles responded to the light. And there's a prophecy, before I go to Ephesians 2, there's a prophecy in Isaiah. I just wanted to read this. Prophecy in Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And here's the prophecy about the Gentiles, which includes the wise men. The Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Now that's the prophecy in Isaiah 60. Now this is what Simeon in Luke chapter 2 said. Remember, Simeon is the one who was waiting for the consolation of Israel to see the Messiah. And when he saw the Messiah, this is what he said. He took the baby Jesus up in his arms. He blessed God and he said, Lord, let now your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And you say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that when the Lord Jesus came, finished his atoning redemptive work, his resurrected, ascended, glorified, exalted life, and he sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the church was birthed. The church, the local New Testament church, came into being supernaturally because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the church came into existence, God took down the middle wall of partition. That's what I want to read here in Ephesians 2. And this is what, when I think about the fellowship, and I think about 50 years, of course I haven't been here the whole 50 years, but the course of this fellowship and the history of this fellowship has been known for the love here. And along with the sincerity of the love here, when they're truly walking in the light and true fellowship with Christ and true dying to self, there will be unity. There will be oneness. And it's desperately needed as far as the witness of Christ to a lost and a dying world. Why should the people in the world come to Christ if they see the people in the church can't even get along with each other? There should be a community of people that know Christ that are dying to self, and there's a oneness, and there's a unity, and there's a closeness, and there's an intimacy. There's a cord that cannot be broken. I love this. And by the way, this is true in marriage. It's if you're two believers in marriage, it's true of a family. What can separate us from the love of God? What can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, things present, things to come. Listen, nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us. There's a permanent oneness. As long as we keep dying to self, there's a oneness in Christ, in the beauty of the peace, the beauty of the love, the beauty of the community of people, how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It's like the dew that ran down upon the hills there, and what ran down upon Aaron's beard. And it talks about the anointing of Aaron. And it says, in that place where brethren are dwelling together in unity, you know what it says? It says, in that place, or in that family, or in that marriage, God commands. What does he command? He commands his blessing. We desperately need the blessing of the Lord in marriages, in families, in homes, with sons and daughters. The blessing of the Lord is the greatest inheritance that anybody could ever pass on to anybody. The blessing of the Lord makes a man rich, not with material earthly things, but with the things of the soul, the things of the treasures of what really, the true treasures of what life is all about. The blessing of the Lord makes a man rich, and God adds no sorrow to it. Wow. On the other hand, if money is our treasure, it says if that's what we're seeking after, it warns in the epistles, you will pierce anybody that makes money their treasure, or material things their treasure, or earthly things their treasure, you will pierce yourself through with many what? Many sorrows. So you got a choice. The blessing of the Lord with no sorrow that makes a man rich, or try to find your security in earthly things and be pierced through with many sorrows. That's a no-brainer. That's a no-brainer. And so my point is here in Ephesians, let me read this. One of the most marvelous, wonderful things about the light and walking in the light and responding to the light of Christ and his life is the oneness and the unity and the love and the supernatural miracle of people working together, so only Jesus Christ's life can be made manifest and the flesh not get in the way. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Remember that you being in time past Gentiles, these wise men were Gentiles. Remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands. At that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. If you don't have Christ, you don't have any hope, and without God in the world. But somebody said, thank God for the buts in the scriptures. The but God's in the scriptures. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, because of his blood atonement, ye who were once far off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is, and here's the peace that Jonathan was talking about. He himself, Jesus Christ himself, is our peace. But if a man's not at peace inside, will he have problems having peace with men outside? Remember in James it says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? How come we can't get along with each other? Is the problem outside or is the problem inside? It says, come they not here, these fightings and these wars, come they not here because you haven't resolved, you haven't won the battle inside with the flesh and with self. And I want to say this about self. This is one of the things that God really, really, really impressed on me about Herod as I was reflecting on this. The only way to experience God's light is you cannot be preoccupied with yourself. Now, the Lord made this very plain. He said, if you decide to come after me, if you're going to be a follower of me, you've got to do what with self? You got to deny yourself. You got to take up your cross and follow me. But I'm talking about how easy it is even as believers. Now, Herod, all his questioning, all his interrogation, everything that came out of his mouth and every activity that he was involved in, he was totally consumed, totally occupied with himself. The Lord Jesus was 5 miles down the road. That's how close the light was. That's how close the light was to Herod. He only had a few years to live. He was towards the end of his life. The moment he slipped into eternity, just like the rich man and Lazarus, when that rich man slipped into eternity, everything about his perspective changed immediately. He was a few years away from his death. The Lord Jesus was right there knocking at the door with the light. But because he was totally consumed with himself, there was no openness to respond to the light. And actually, the whole city, the chief priests and the scribes, when Herod brought them in there and he demanded, where is this Christ child to be born? With one voice and one accord, we're not talking about Herod didn't choose a few of the advanced level guys. He brought every one of them in there. All the chief priests. He brought them all in there. And there was no hesitancy, no trying to figure it out. Everybody with one voice said, the Christ child is to be born in Bethlehem. So everybody there had head knowledge of the scriptures. It was coming from the scriptures. But as far as we know, not a single one of the chief priests or the scribes, there was no activity to go 5 miles down the road with the shepherds, with the wise men, to respond to the light. They had the fear of man that kept them in bondage. And Herod had the preoccupation with himself that kept him in bondage. Now, lest you say that was them, the Bible says, there hath no temptation taken any man but such as is common to every man. And so this is something I think we all need to look at. And one of the things the Lord's really impressed on me is about if you're preoccupied with yourself, you will not be aware of the light I'm giving. You'll not be in touch with it. You'll not be aware of it. The light's always there. It's always available. It's always something we can enter into. It's always something we can respond to. But if I'm taken up with me, myself, and I'm going to be totally out of touch with the light God wants to give me. I've got to get my mind off myself, and I've got to get my mind on God's kingdom, God's name, God's glory, the moving forth of God's plan and God's will. And it doesn't matter whether I agree with what God's doing or not. Amen? It doesn't matter. Have I yielded my will to what he's allowed? Am I willing to embrace what he's brought my way, even though it looks like a big Goliath staring me in the face that says there's no way you can defeat me? Am I willing to move forward with God and trust him by faith? Listen, those scribes and those chief priests could have moved forward by faith in response to the word of God. Amen? And God would have taken care of them. Did God take care of the wise men and protect them? Did God take care of Joseph and Mary and protect them? Anybody that moves forward with God by faith, God's going to take care of them. He's going to take care of them. Fear thou not, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. When we take the step of faith, and it's got to be on the basis of God's word, God's going to protect us, God's going to direct us, and God's going to provide for us. That's one of the most wonderful things I see here. Through this star, they had God's direction. Through those prophecies that God gave them, those dreams of where to go, they had God's protection. And then because of the gifts that the wise men gave when Mary and Joseph went down into Egypt, they had God's provision. Mary and Joseph, you know, were poor. But because they had those gifts from the wise men, they had the means of provision that God provided. They were under God's protection, God's direction, and God's provision. And that's always the case it is when we're walking by faith. Now, if you'll go back with me to Matthew, I want to ask a question. Why did the wise men leave where they were? They had to go through all the preparation for the journey. And then they had the long journey, probably had dangers attached to it. When they got to the city of Jerusalem, they anticipated that Jerusalem would be filled with the buzz of the Christ child being born. They anticipated everybody in the city to be excited, to be filled with joy and wonder that the Christ child had been born. And when they got there, nothing but apathy, nothing but indifference, nothing but coldness. There was no buzz going on in the city of Jerusalem until the wise men got there. And when the wise men got there, they caused quite a stir. They caused quite a stir because they were responding by faith to the light God had given them. When you respond to the light that God gives you, it's going to be different than what the world understands. The world's not going to comprehend it. God's ways are not man's ways, and God's thoughts are not man's thoughts. And so I want to ask the question, why did they come? When they left there, they knew there was something going on in Jerusalem. They had to suspect there's something going on here. We can't fully explain it. Don't fully understand it. I mean, of all places, the capital city of the Jewish people, there should have been great excitement about the birth of Christ. But there was nobody showing interest to go with them. And when that star appeared, reappeared, what does the Bible say happened? They rejoiced. What did they rejoice with? What kind of joy? Exceedingly great joy. Thank you. Exceedingly great joy. I'm telling you, it's great joy in your life when you know the absolute certainty of God leading you. One of the most blessed things in my life that has been such a huge anchor to my soul is the places that I've been put. I know God put me there, and I know until God changes where he's put me, which he's big enough to change anything he wants to change and put me somewhere else. But if I know I'm in the place where God has put me, I can face whatever God wants me to face. I can handle whatever God wants me to handle. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. Amen. Amen. I tell you, it's very important to know you're in the place where God wants you to be. It's very important because then you know you're in the place. It kind of reminds me of that scripture in the Old Testament when it says, surely God is in this place, and I knew it not. Half of our battle is we want to change our circumstances or change our location or change this or change that. We're in the place where God wants us to be. We just need to accept it. We need to respond to the light in the situation we're in. If we're not contented and happy and joyful in the situation we're in, no change is going to change anything. Because it's only Christ himself that gives us the joy, that gives us the peace, and gives us the purpose of what God wants to accomplish. So my question is, why did the wise men travel so far? Now, obviously, one answer to that could be They came to give gifts, which is one thing about these wise men. This is one thing about people that have true faith. They were not coming to get something from the Christ child. They were coming to give something to the Christ child. And I'm telling you, when you really get your heart right with God, God transforms you from being a taker to being a giver. It's wonderful to operate in the fullness of the life of Christ. He makes our cup. What does he do with our cup? Makes our cup run over. It's not like we're lacking anything. Everything we need for life and godliness, God has provided in his son's life. And so now we can give. You know, as it says there in John 7, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit's really working in your life, out of your inner, most of the time we focus on the Holy Spirit as an experience for my blessing. But Jesus talked about the power of the Holy Spirit being rivers of living water flowing which way? If you really want to experience the power of the Holy Spirit, it's the rivers of living water flowing out of you to others. You're not preoccupied with yourself. That's where the joy is. That's where the life of Christ is. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. So, the reason why the wise men came was to worship. I want you to notice this in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, when they first got there, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east, and we are come to give gifts to him. Now, they could have said that. Or we have come to see this, just to be able to see this Christ child. Just to be able to say we've seen him. But they didn't say any of that. They said, we have come to worship him. Verse 11, when they were come into the house, and it's very important order, the order that it gives us here, it's several times in this chapter. It's not Mary first and then the Christ child. It's the Christ child first and then Mary. It's very important to see there's no worship of Mary going on here. The worship is of Christ himself. When they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Now let me find this in my notes. Where did they worship? They worshiped in an architectural wonder of a building that was built so the aura of worship would be created so that we could worship because of the building's enhancements. No. They worshiped. Where did they worship? They worshiped in a house. Don't wait until Sunday to worship. Amen? Worship in your house. Worship at your job. Worship when you go shopping. Worship, remember Jesus said to the woman at the well? He said, you think in this mountain or this place is the place to worship me? But he said, they that worship me in what manner? In spirit and in truth. It's always in the attitude of our being, the disposition of our being. It's always the wonder of who he is. Always walking in the wonder of who he is. The wonder of fellowship with him. The wonder that he can give me light when I'm facing the darkest night of the soul. I think it was the Puritans years ago, they used to talk about the dark night of the soul. When you go through some dark experience, it's bigger and stronger and more powerful than any dark experience you've ever had. Christ Jesus can take you through any dark experience. Doesn't matter how dark it is. But worship is a key factor. It's a key factor. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face. And then what happens to whatever circumstance you got? Things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We all with unveiled face are gazing upon the glory of who he is in worship. And while we gaze upon the glory of who he is in worship, he changes us. We can't change ourselves. We can make resolutions to try to change, redouble our efforts to try to change. We can try hard and try to do better, but it's not going to work. God's got to change us. Amen. But 2 Corinthians says, how does he change us? He changes us when we worship him. With unveiled face, he changes us from one degree of glory to another. So this is very important here, this principle that God's revealing to us. They knelt down in their worship, and they had a single purpose in their worship. I believe that they came all that distance for one purpose, to bow down to the Christ child and to worship him. Let's pray. Our Father, the city of Jerusalem and those who had all the Bible knowledge and all the Bible answers were totally out of touch. But these Gentiles that were from miles away, who responded to the measure of light you gave them, and then you gave more light and you gave more light. And we thank you for showing us how powerful you are, that you will move heaven and earth to get any man to your Son, Jesus Christ, who will respond to the light you have given. It may be the light of our conscience. It may be the light of creation. It may be the light of the witness of somebody trying to share Christ with us. But if we will just respond to whatever measure of light you've given us, I know that you will take us deeper into the leading of your light, that we might know your Son, Jesus Christ, in a personal way. And so we pray for that today, Father. We can't have life without your Son, Jesus Christ, and we can't have light without your Son, Jesus Christ. And if there's anyone here today that says, you know, I've gone through many Christmas celebrations, but I've never come to Jesus Christ himself. I've gone through the festivities, but I've never come to Jesus Christ to believe on him personally, to be my Lord, to be my Savior, to believe that he was born in this world, lived a sinless life, and when he died for my sin, rose from the dead that I could have my sins forgiven and receive his everlasting life. If you need to believe on him or receive him today, I pray you do it even as we sing this hymn. And if you need to talk with me any further to understand what it means to be saved, I'll be glad to talk to you. We thank you, our Father, that through your Son, Jesus Christ, there is light and life. And I pray you to help us all to get free from the fear of man and free from being preoccupied with ourselves, so we don't grieve the light or quench the light and not have what we need from you. Lord, help us to see when we're so self-focused, it causes the blindness. It causes the confusion. It causes the deception. It causes us to be out of touch with you. It seems like you're distant from us. We just need to get our focus on you and not be so preoccupied with ourselves. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.